In Ecuador, a new oil pipeline could make the nation one of the top 10 oil suppliers to the United States. But 33 years after Ecuador's oil industry began, citizens are asking what happened to their long-promised benefits. And this story, the second in a series about petroleum in Latin America, is part of a 9-month, 5-country, 12-reporter collaboration at the Graduate School of Journalism at the University of California at Berkeley. It was written and produced by Sandy Tolan.
When the letter from home arrived last fall, Maria Ortiz thought it carried family chit-chat from her native community of Sarayaco, deep in the Ecuadorian Amazon. Instead, her mother wrote, "Come home." Strangers had arrived in Sarayaco, dynamiting the earth in search of oil. The whole town was fighting for its land. The teenager left her high school and traveled back into the jungle.
¡Fuera petrolera!
¡Fuera!
She arrived to find her village in an uproar. The seismic tests by an Argentinian oil company, CGC, were scaring away the animals. Maria knew the land beneath Sarayaco was said to hold heavy crude oil. She knew about the new heavy crude pipeline being built in Ecuador to supply the U.S. So Maria and the community mobilized and went off in search of the oil workers in their camp.
We carried food like chicha and yuca for those who were making sure the company did not come in. We were wet and hungry, lost in the jungle for 3 days. It was grueling. We were really suffering.
When they arrived, the villagers pointed lances at the oil workers. They waved machetes in their faces. They took 8 workers hostage. And, says resident Jimmy Santi, they confiscated the dynamite.
Now the military knows we have these explosives. They're scared of what we will do with them.
Soldiers came, the workers were released, arrests were made. But tensions haven't diminished much. At stake is the future development of what the government calls Block 23 and the Sarayacans call home. The villagers saw what happened when Texaco came in the 1970s. 30 years later, Chevron Texaco stands accused in Ecuadorian courts of ruining large swaths of rainforest and poisoning local rivers. The company refutes the claims. Villagers in Sarayaco want ecotourism and local low-impact industry. Mario Santi is president of the community's oil resistance campaign.
Minera no era del Estado, sino era de los pueblos indígenas.
The oil does not belong to the state. It belongs to the indigenous people. They have to consult with us before they exploit the land. We are the rightful owners.
According to Ecuadorian law, the state owns the resources lying beneath Block 23.
Regarding the idea of the subsurface belongs to the community is something that they want, but it's not what the constitution of the law states at present.
In the capital of Quito, Carlos Darlach, regional vice president of Occidental Petroleum. California-based Oxy is one of 6 foreign oil companies building the new heavy crude pipeline.
And of course, every company goes to a country and to work within the existing legal framework.
For the Ecuadorian government, awash in foreign debt with a poverty rate of nearly 70%, oil must be developed for the new pipeline. Mauricio Pozo, Ecuador's finance minister, says communities like Sarayaco will see benefits from the oil.
We need to return to those people services, infrastructure. We also have to take into account, I would say, equilibrium between the economic production given by the oil and the environmental sustainability. We need to balance both.
These are words Ecuadorians have been hearing for 3 decades, that oil will bring benefits to the entire nation. But for a lot of ordinary people, like Antonio Arazo, passing a Saturday afternoon with his kids in a Quito park, these words are beginning to sound stale.
You know, we could be living well, all of us Ecuadorians, because we have oil. In other countries, they don't have oil, but they live better. So much mismanagement here. Where has all the money gone? Every time there is more poverty, there is no work. This is something really disastrous.
Antonio struggles to support a family of 4 as a messenger with a salary of $190 a month, much higher than many people here make. But after rent and groceries, the family has $12 a week. Now they're down to eating meat just once a week. With poverty rising, hundreds of thousands of Ecuadorians have left to work abroad and send money home. And Ecuador is still measured as one of the most corrupt countries in Latin America. Antonio says he's losing faith in the oil dream.
Who is this benefiting?
The heavy crude pipeline, or OCP as it's known here, is being touted as another chance for Ecuador to get it right with oil. It could more than double the country's output to 850,000 barrels a day. But a closer look at the terms shows three-quarters of the oil revenues from the OCP will go to the private oil companies who are building the pipeline.
So basically you only have a 25% windfall from that big change in the OCP.
Leading Ecuadorian economist Gustavo Arteta says that out of that 25%, nearly three-quarters will go toward paying off Ecuador's debt. Some analysts say debt payment is crucial for Ecuador's future economic health, but the formula leaves only 10% of Ecuador's share of the pipeline revenue for social and educational investment.
10% of 25%, 2.5% of the OCP windfalls.
After rising out of the Amazon and crossing the Andes, the heavy crude pipeline passes north of Quito, plunging west through a sensitive bird sanctuary. Environmentalists say they fear spills could turn the sanctuary into asphalt. Over 30 years, the old pipeline has leaked or spilled more than 500,000 barrels of oil, or more than twice the amount of the Exxon Valdez. The last stop for the pipeline is the coastal town of Esmeraldas, a city founded by shipwrecked slaves 450 years ago. 30 years of oil development in Esmeraldas has left air and water severely contaminated. The residents use the rivers for fishing, for their cooking water, for play. The government says not all the health problems here are related to oil. But after a pipeline to the refinery ruptured and the river caught fire, killing more than 24 people and injuring hundreds, citizens here sued the government. Last year, they were awarded $11 million. Local organizer Jose Guevara says Esmeraldans can live with the refinery. They just want the court-ordered cleanup to begin.
There is no work besides the refinery. I just want the environmental impact minimized.
But now, Guevara says, with the new pipeline coming online, this could double the chance for problems. At the end of the line, the heavy crude pipeline will connect to hoses just off the Esmeralda shore, running alongside the current pipeline to bring oil from the Amazon into tankers bound for the U.S. There, it will leave behind the tensions over rainforest development or over the scant share of oil revenues set aside for ordinary Ecuadorians. The tankers will head north, entering the mix with millions of other barrels from around the world used by Americans every day. For NPR News, this is Sandy Tolan reporting.
Reporters for this story are Yahaira Castro, Claudine LaMonaco, Andre Sediel, and Brent McDonald. Tomorrow, the natural gas project in Peru. Photographs and reports on Latin America's oil legacy are at npr.org.